And glad that you were able to make it safely, and I would invite you to come up and just share a word with us this morning.
I do have to admit that on Monday, when I saw the weather forecast, immediately anxiety hits me. I'm like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And then I like said, okay, Lord, it's all in your hands. I pray that the timing is perfect. I have to admit, I did not ask for ice for Michigan at all. When I saw the ice storm warning, I'm like, oh my goodness. But here I am. And so I want to thank this church for hosting this event. And let's begin. So, I'm going to throw in a little Florida story to warm you up. So years ago, the night before my family was going to take a trip to Florida, I thought to myself, I can go get some odds and ends from Walmart. And I'm like driving to Walmart. I can imagine myself talking to myself, like, and getting sidetracked. All of a sudden, I'm on the road, like, right by home. And I'm not even, like, close to Walmart. I, like, got totally turned around. The weather was good. There was no snow. It was light out. And I'm like, how in the world did I get turned around? It frazzled my brain. And to this day, I do not know. What's worse, if somebody is on what they think is the right path, but it turns out to be the path that leads to their doom. In Psalms 1, it talks about two different paths, the path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. It talks about two different outcomes, one of life and one that will just perish like chaff in the wind. Excuse me. And so I found that Psalms 1 related really good to the passage today, found in 1 John 1, 5 through 10, if you'd like to follow along. Now, this message comes from the mouth of Jesus and is proclaimed by those who were with Jesus. Verse 5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Now, my wife and I are reading through the Bible together, and we got through with Exodus, and now we're in Leviticus and Numbers. But in Exodus, I just remember hearing about the story where God descended on the Mount Sinai and where Moses was going up to it. And in Exodus 19, 18 through 20, it says, now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. Just like, close your eyes if you want to picture that. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln or the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke. Listen to this. God answered him in thunder. I read that to my wife. She's like, that's kind of scary. I mean, can you imagine that? The Lord then came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain and went up. Now, later in verse 34, there's a couple things that I want to point out. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face had this radiant glow, and the people were, like, terrified of this. In addition, whenever Moses went into the tent of the meeting to talk to the Lord, he did not have a veil on. But when he came out of the tent of the meeting to talk to the people, the Israelites, he had to put the veil back on because his face was shining so brightly. But just think about this for a second. Moses did not see the face of God, and his face was that bright. Because to see the face of God would mean death. We have a perfect and God that shines so brightly. For instance, in John 6:46, Jesus says that nobody has seen the Father except he who is from God. Hebrews 1:3 is just amazing. It talks about how the radiance of the Father shines onto Jesus as an exact replica. Exact. We cannot see the face of God and live, but we don't have to, because we have already seen the Father through Jesus. So in 1 John 1:6 it says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So this would be Christians, people who say they were Christians or had a relationship with God, but their life says otherwise. So I was kind of thinking about that. I was thinking about how the word walking and what that means. And I thought about when I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 11 years old. And then again at Bible camp the next year and next year and then next year. I know a lot of people can relate. But then it dawned on me at some point, and a pastor might even told me that your salvation does not hang in this balance. Saved, unsaved, saved, unsaved. I mean, that would be crazy. I just saw that verse that that you guys read up there about the nobody can snatch you out of the Father's hand. And I think it's just like so amazing verse. So, yes, when I gave my life to the Lord and then I finally realized the pendulum would not keep swinging. So the phrase walking in darkness here is depicted as a way of living or a habit. So how is our pattern of living? And then there's the issue of people that say they have no sin. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We will come back to verses 7 and 9 later. Verse 10 says the same thing, but with a different twist. If we say we have not sinned, past tense, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In the first instance, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And in the second instance, we are calling God a liar, and his word is not in us. His word is not in us. So I was thinking about this category of people that walk in darkness and say they have not sinned. And there's different categories. Some people live above sin. In Jesus' day, there were Jews that thought they, because they were descendants of Abraham, they were free of sin and guilt. In contrast, some people today might say, Pastor, I haven't committed any of the major sins, you know. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't cheated on my wife. I haven't stole. I haven't done any of these things. I'm good. I'm good to go. I mean, I've heard that statement a lot. And I have to say, well, in Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. Now, what really gets me is what Jesus says in Matthew 5:28-29. That if a person lusts in his heart, he has already committed adultery. I mean, that just blows me away. Therefore, one thought of sin, one thought of being so angry with somebody, you've already committed murder. I mean, it blows me away. And that just one thing can keep a person out of the kingdom of heaven if you don't know Jesus. Some people say they have moved beyond sin. You know, that sin thing, that was a problem in past life, you know. I'm good to go now. I got eternal security. It's locked in, man. There's no need to worry about how I live, though. I mean, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, so I can do whatever I want. In my opinion, that is reckless living and cheapens what Jesus did on the cross. And then there's those who think that sin has been eradicated totally when they accepted Jesus, and the tendency to sin is gone. I can fully attest that tendency is not gone. It's something I struggle with every day. So no matter what camp people are in, we still struggle with sin and the sinful nature. But then I was thinking to myself, the Apostle Paul. I mean, he's like a rock star of apostles, right? And I know if anybody watched the Super Bowl and saw the commercial, the Rockstar commercial, you'll get it. The Apostle Paul in Romans 7, 14 through 25, just to kind of paraphrase it, he says, and I'm sure a lot of us can even agree with him on this point, he says, I know what is right to do. I really do. And I do what I hate. Paul talks even about this inner war in him between the flesh and the mind. He goes on to ask the question, who can rescue me from this wretched state? I mean, who? But then he thanks God that he can be delivered through Jesus Christ. Friends, the struggle is real. As we battle the sinful nature inside of each of us. Nobody is immune to sin on this earth. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's each and every one of us. Every person on this planet falls into this category. Romans 6:23 talks about the penalty. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The good news is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And if we realize that we are a sinner, like I did when I was 11 years old, I realized I was a sinner. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And when we give our life to Jesus Christ, we become children of God. John 1:12, my favorite verse in the whole Bible, I think, says that all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right become children of God. To believe. What does it mean to believe? I did have a Billy Graham story, but then I thought to myself, I got a better one. My daughter Ashley and her husband Robbie live in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've been to the Grand Canyon. Actually, my wife and I were there a while ago, and it's just totally amazing. If you've never been there, it is amazing. But anyway, Ashley and Robbie were like walking on this glass bridge across the Grand Canyon. And I was thinking to myself, I think that bridge could hold me, right? I'm walking over here. I'm looking down. I'm like, I don't think I'm walking across the glass bridge. You're crazy. I don't really believe, right? But if we really believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, if we really believe that he was the Son of God, and get this, if we really believe that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Belief is like totally putting everything in it and totally believing. So now you've heard someone say, I have good news and I have bad news. What do you want to hear first? And I kind of thought of another analogy. My wife won't get this. It's kind of like when your team wins the coin flip at a football game. Of course, you're gonna choose to receive in the second half, because your defense is going to be awesome, and then you get the ball right away. That's the kind of mentality. Give me the bad news first, and then the good news. We have heard a little good news, but mostly it's been bad. But now for the good news. 1 John 5:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. When we are walking in the light, it enhances our fellowship with other believers. For instance, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we got the Holy Spirit inside of us. Totally cool, right? I think you guys even mentioned that. I mean, you're stealing all my thunder. But we got the Holy Spirit inside of us. And one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, which says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Did you catch the last part? Against such things there is no law. I mean, we cannot err. If we practice the fruit of the Spirit, there's no way we can err. There's no way we can go wrong. It's kind of like an all-you-can-eat pizza buffet changed to an all-you-can-do fruit of the Spirit buffet, which, I might add, is a lot less calories. So not only does this enhance our relationship with believers, it also impacts our relationship with all people we have contact with. I mean, can you imagine? I was just thinking, I was in the airport, and I'd been practicing this sermon, and the line was like insane. And then I thought, oh, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. I'm like, okay, patience, God, you got this. And then the line started going really fast. I don't know if that was a quick little prayer and God sped up the line or what, but it was really cool. Another result of walking in light is that the blood of Jesus cleanses us or purifies us of sin. The Greek tense of the word cleanse is in the present continuous tense, meaning ongoing. That means like I am walking right now, or I am preaching right now for the next 2 hours. Actually, I got a flight to catch, so we're safe. But it's ongoing. So this has some awesome implications in that tense. The ongoing action of cleansing is not limited to certain kinds of sin, but covers all sins except one. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that's a whole another sermon. So this ongoing cleansing is not only for actions, but also inclinations and intentions. This ongoing cleansing is conditional, though, on a right relationship with God and others. So that breaks up the topic of spiritual disciplines, which really, in my opinion, can help us all have that right relationship with God. For instance, I work really hard to practice spiritual disciplines. So every morning when I wake up and I've cleaned the cobwebs out of my eyes, I have a whole lot of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. And I try to start off the day in the Word of God and then proceed to spending time in prayer. I even can turn my morning workout session into a praise session, listening to contemporary Christian music, and I might add two of your songs up here. The one by We the Kingdom, I believe, and the other one by Phil Wickman is in my playlist. I mean, it's like at a totally, if I'm in like in actually in the gym, I think I have the tendency to sing aloud sometimes. And one time somebody was in there, I didn't know it, and so it's like, okay, I don't ever think I'll be a contemporary Christian artist. My singing voice is not good. So anyway, this really helps me to start my day off with God and helps me to remind me to attempt to show the love of Christ throughout the day. So when I'm lying in bed at night, I try to debrief with God, going over the good things of the day. I can't stress enough that we need to go over the positive things of the day too, but also confessing my failures and asking him for his forgiveness. That leads right into verse 9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So ideally, I would recognize my sin immediately, confess my sins, and ask for forgiveness right on the spot. But then you got the heat of the moment. Sinful nature wins for a short time. I almost feel like covering myself with some sort of bang over my head and shame and guilt, letting that sinful nature win, but it does sometimes. But then you have the nightly debriefing again, where I come to the throne, I confess my sins, and ask God to forgive me. And I also ask God, next time, God, can we do better? I mean, I really want to do better. I don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over. So just help me to do better. The Greek word for unrighteousness is, I hope I said this right, anomia, which describes the state or the actions of willful lawlessness. This would include not only an unintentional sins, but also the attitude of the person committing the sins. But the good news is there is transformation available through the power of the resurrected Christ. Just when I think one area of my life is improved, God always humbles me some more. And there's another area. And I'm like, really? But we continue. Friends, it's a lifetime process of transformation. But I do have to add that we are in this together as we run the race towards being like Jesus. So, friends, we are in one of two paths. We can't be halfway in. We only can be all way in. We are either walking in darkness or walking in the light. Which path are you on? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross. And I know walking in the light, we're going to have our failures, Lord, but I know that your son, Jesus Christ, forgives us of our sins. I would just pray that you would help us all as we run the race to become more like Jesus, Lord. Just help us run that race and help transform our lives, Lord, and help us be more like Jesus. And if there's anybody in this room today that is not walking in the light, I just pray, Lord, that they would recognize they are a sinner, recognize their need for Jesus, Lord, and that they would give their life to Jesus. And I want to thank you for everything, Lord. And I want to add a little extra prayer to just pray you would help everybody in this cleanup this week, help all the power to get restored. And I thank you for all the hard workers of the electric contractors that are doing this. And just pray for your protection for everybody as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Okay, so I don't know about you, but I sat there going, yep. Oh, wait, prayers at night. And the please help me, God, not do so bad tomorrow. Please help me, God, not. Okay.
I was telling her, I admit, I got to do that more in the morning. Praying for the strength and the mindset to avoid sin.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I like the idea of that in the morning, praying for strength, and at night asking for forgiveness.
and it is, and it's a lifetime walk, and that's what we have to, because I want immediate results. I want that right now. Okay, I'm good today. Now I'm good for the rest. No, it's a lifetime. It's a walk. And sometimes we're, like you said, we're on the mountain, and sometimes we're in the valley. But being together through it all is so key. Please stand if you're able. And I have hearing your message now, I know why this song was on my heart so much. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood supplied. So let's sing that now.